Yes, welcome to another episode of Matt Chat, episode 4. Plenty of stuff coming up. We're joined by Ryan Duffield, ex-WA cricketer and ex-Brisbane Heat player, and the mysterious Gooch. He's going to be in to help me quiz Usman Khedira. He's going to be giving us a call from Pakistan to talk all things cricket. Looking forward to it. Let's jump right in.
Every little swallow, every chickadee, every little bird in the tall oak tree.
Yes, welcome back to Matt Chats. And a guest I didn't talk about in the opener. We're going to run through his stats before we introduce him. He's played 175 matches, a top score of 113, best of 6 for 19. He's made 1,900 runs, 163 innings, an average of 16.18. He's made 2 centuries, 2 half centuries, 19 ducks, 45 not outs, 8 run outs, 55 catches, and only 1 stumping, which I think could be incorrect. A lot of those games at different clubs, 61 of them for who he plays on now, the Kenwick Cricket Club. It's Colby Shocker. Colby, how are you, mate?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Now, does that sound right, 1 stumping? I feel like you would have taken a few more stumpings than 1.
No, that's definitely incorrect.
How many stumpings do you reckon you have taken?
I'm taking a lot in juniors, I'd say.
Okay. You haven't kept much for the Kenwick Cricket Club, have you?
Nah, not much. A couple games.
Not much. Well, great to have you on, mate. Obviously, your first time on the podcast. Later on today, we're actually having Usman Khedira on. Now, you know who the mysterious Gooch is, but we're not going to say his name because he hasn't actually been on the podcast yet, but he's actually going to help me interview Usman Khedira. We're just going to know him as the mysterious Gooch for now. Obviously, you know who he is. I know who he is, but I guess a lot of people wouldn't know who he is.
Yeah, I know who he is.
So, plenty to talk about, mate. Obviously, you're down at the Kenwick Cricket Club, so you follow a lot of cricket. As I said, we're talking Usman Khedira later on. Do you have many memories of Usman Khedira when he was at the Scorchers?
Funny you say that, actually.
Yeah.
I feel like one game there's a rumour going around that we did play against Usman Khedira for the Swedes 1 week there.
Yeah, I've heard this story as well. Obviously, I didn't play, but you and also the mysterious Gooch claim that apparently in a Sunday T20 morning game, you played against Usman Khedira and he bowled left-handed. Maybe I'll get the chance to ask him later on in the podcast. Maybe an opportunity to try and debunk the myth. You and the mysterious Gooch seem pretty certain, though.
Yeah, I'm pretty certain.
I think
another fella, Braden Douglas, was pretty certain that day as well. We were all on the Usman Khedira train.
Maybe I'll have to get Braden Douglas on, another Kenwick player. Might have to get him on the podcast at some point. Now, the footy season's in full swing, Colby. I know you're a big Eagles fan. Have you seen their performance so far this year?
Yeah. The start was a bit average, wasn't it? Everyone didn't really expect it, but yeah, it's starting to come good now. But
yeah, and we were talking off air. Big return, Matty Eagles back for the Brisbane Lions this week, Coles.
Yeah. I'm excited. I can't wait.
He won the recruit a few years ago. Hopefully that show comes back. I don't think it is, but I'd love to see the recruit come back. Maybe see yourself on the recruit one day.
Highly doubt that one, Matty.
Highly doubt that one.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, look, mate. There's so much to talk about. Obviously, the coronavirus is gone in Perth now. We're living it up. We got to go to Optus Stadium and check out a few footy games. You came with me to watch the Pies play the Cats. Probably the last time the Pies played any good footy.
Yeah, that was the last time the Pies played any good footy, Matty.
hasn't been good sailing since then. Obviously, the Pies did have a win last night, but we're gonna go through the rest of the round matches, Cole. We're going to get your tips because there's a few games going on. Obviously, tonight, Essendon and GWS. This is actually the last match of round 10 as round 11 kicks off tomorrow. Who do you reckon's going to win that?
GWS for sure.
GWS?
Yeah. They'll snatch that one up.
Yeah.
Quite easy, I think.
Round 11 kicks off tomorrow between Port Adelaide and Richmond. Who are you tipping there?
Richmond.
I'll go the same. Brisbane and the Western Bulldogs at the Gabba.
Can't remember. Oh, Brisbane. That's it.
Brisbane?
Brisbane made amazing.
Have you?
Yeah.
Wow, we.
Which I included all these Dans in it, so.
Exciting times. Well, I'm going to go against you, Colby. I'm going to sit the Dogs for that one.
Ooh.
The next game there, West Coast and Carlton.
Yeah, I went West Coast.
Yeah, I think West Coast just. Melbourne and North Melbourne.
I actually went Melbourne, but I'm not too quite sure about that one. I think North Melbourne looked like they were all right at the start and then dropped off a bit, but you never know with Melbourne, so.
Yeah, it's a 50-51. I'm going to go North. And then on the Monday, we've got double header. We've got St Kilda and Geelong.
Yeah.
So who you reckon for that?
Oh, I might have to go Geelong, eh?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go the Cats as well. And then Freo and Hawthorn from Optus Stadium. Who do you think's winning that one?
Definitely Hawthorn, mate.
Hawthorn? Oh, it's a tough one. I think I'll just go the Hawks as well. Adelaide and Collingwood on the Tuesday. I never tip against my side, so I'll go the Pies.
Yeah, Pies, Matty, for sure.
Good one. And the wrap-up round 11 on the Wednesday, it's Gold Coast taking on Essendon. And I'm gonna back in the Suns.
Yeah, I'm backing in the Suns as well, mate. I'm a huge fan of the Suns.
Oh, good last night. Isaac Rankine. Absolutely dominant. Looks a very Cyril Rioli, like the way he is around goals. I like it.
Yeah, he is, isn't he?
Reminds me a bit of Colby Shocker around goals.
Oh, not that good, Matty.
Now, big game this weekend for the Swedes. You're obviously captaining the Swedish blue side. They're going to be taking on Garuda at 11:30. Pretty important game for the season. You reckon you'll get up?
Yeah, hopefully. Got a decent team for past teams we've had in the last couple of weeks. It's a pretty good team. So
you'd be excited. You've got Lightning Gloves Stephen Kemp in there, so hopefully he's able to grab you a few stumpings off the pace bowlers as well as the spinners.
Really excited me to be able to captain Stephen Kemp.
It is. Dreams come true.
Yeah, dreams do come true.
And obviously, Swedish gold there in the afternoon. Both our Swedish sides could we pull off the miracle of getting both sides into that final series? I don't think we can. I think it'd have to be a few results that have to go away. I think we'll definitely get one in there, I reckon. If we could get two, it would be something else, I'd say.
Yeah, we'd be pretty happy if we could play two in there, couldn't we?
Yeah, very, very much so. Yeah, winter cricket, that is. So if you're interested in playing, don't hesitate to get in touch with us on Matt Chats or message Cole. We were always looking for players, aren't we, Coles?
Yeah, always.
Always. Look, Colby, it's been great chatting with you, mate. We're going to chat with Usman Khedir very shortly. The mysterious Gooch is going to help me out, so looking forward to that. And Ryan Duffield, we're speaking to him as well. Ex-Scorcher, ex-Brisbane Heat. Now, be honest with me, do you remember anything about Ryan Duffield, Colbs?
Yeah, I can't say I do.
I thought that may be the case. I know you like playing your cricket. Probably not a heavy follower on the watching of it as much as you are the playing, I'd say.
No, definitely haven't watched that much cricket.
Very exciting. Well, Colby, it's been a pleasure having you on. We'll get chatting to the Duffman and Usman Khedir very shortly. More to come, but just remember, go and subscribe, leave a rating, leave a review. We're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Spotify, we're on Google Podcasts as well. Go and message me on Instagram, say good day, I'll always get back to you. If you want to come in the show, don't hesitate to ask, you never know. And yeah, let's keep rolling, you a little beauty. All right, so we've got a special guest on today. He's played 19 first-class matches for WA, 12 one-day matches and 7 T20s. Best wicket haul of 6 for 77 for WA, Ryan Duffield. How are you, mate?
Good, mate. Yourself?
Good, mate. Let's talk a bit of cricket. Obviously, Shield debut back in 2010 versus Victoria. Obviously, I'm sure it would have been a big moment for you to get to play for WA on the state scene. Can you talk us through how the call-up happened and how the day unfolded?
It seems like quite a while ago now. It was my first year as a contracted player with WA. I was only a rookie contract, and it kind of, I was probably fortunate that there was quite a few of the senior bowlers that actually gone down injured, so it presented me with an opportunity. But I've been bowling pretty well in the pre-season, and yeah, just kind of all lined up, and I, you know, got the opportunity to take that opportunity and make my debut. And it was a pretty, they told me a week out from when I was making my debut, so I had a week to prepare. It was a pretty whirlwind week, trying to get my head around everything and all that. But I suppose by the morning of the game, it was, I didn't have a great sleep the first night, but I got there, was pretty excited, and yeah, it was a great honour to get presented. Back then, it was a baggy gold cap. Yeah, it was just something that's still very special to me.
Now, obviously, you played a bit of T20 cricket as well. Was it only the one game for the Scorchers in the Champions League?
Yeah, it was, yeah. And I'm not even sure if my wicket still counts, to be honest. It was Lou Vincent, so I don't even know if I still get given that wicket. But yeah, it was the one game for the Scorchers, and then obviously later on, an opportunity with Brisbane Heat.
I'm going to play you a clip now. I don't know. I've got a favourite Ryan Duffield moment. I assume you probably know what it is, but I'm going to play it.
So Maxwell, the new man of the crease. Oh my goodness gracious me! What has happened there? That is stunning. I'm speechless.
Yeah, so you obviously bowled that ball to Maxwell and he left on his stumps. Can you talk us through that moment?
Yeah, it's probably something that'll get brought up in a few pub quizzes in the next 20 years. It was pretty surreal. I didn't really do much, to be honest. I just bowled a good ball that hit the stumps. It was probably Maxie that did most of the work. But, it was a pretty crazy night. Like, yeah, first game back at the Gabba for us anyway. And first home game. So it had been raining the whole day up until probably an hour before the game started. So we didn't even think we were going to get on. But knowing the humidity in Brisbane, we managed to. And it was a pretty bowl a friendly wicket in terms of the humidity and conditions, but the fact that I had my whole family there watching and they were all celebrating the grandstand was really special. And as you can see, I didn't miss out on my opportunity to celebrate as well. I carried on like an absolute pork chop, but I almost went from hero to villain that night. So I started like a house on fire, and then had to bowl the last over and Bobby Quiney hit me for one or two sixes, I can't remember, and I almost bloody, so all I could think about was like, these guys are going to think I was the bee's knees, and then by the end of the night, they were going to chase me out of Brisbane. So I was lucky that we just managed to come away with a one-run win.
Yeah, yeah. Well, obviously, after you got that Maxwell wicket, you're on a hat-trick ball. Do you remember how the hat-trick ball unfolded?
I think Luke Wright left one, I think, wasn't the worst ball, but yeah, he just let it go through to the keeper from memory. But it's all a bit of a blur. Other than that, I mean, it's probably, you remember the wicket balls, but you don't really remember what kind of happened in between that, I suppose.
Yeah, nice. Now, I wanted to test you. Obviously, you've named Lou Vincent and Glenn Maxwell as two of your T20 wickets. There were four more guys you got. Do you remember who it is? Do you reckon you can list them off?
There was most of them that night. Dave Hussey and Cameron White,
yep.
And then Trav Burt from Hobart,
yep.
And Maxi Klinger.
Oh, he's got it. Nailed it, mate. All over it.
Yeah. Well, it's not really good. I probably didn't take enough 2020 wickets for it to really test my memory, to be honest.
You took over 60 wickets for WA as well, so 19 first-class matches. You started, was it under Mickey Arthur as coach?
Yeah, so my first 2 years at WA were with Mickey, and then, probably a year and a half, but he got the Australian job halfway through his second season, so then Lockie Stevens took over from him, and then following Lockie Stevens, we had obviously JL come in, who was there for the remainder of my time with WA.
Yeah. How was JL to work with as a coach?
He was bloody scary. he was pretty intense at times, but look back at it now, I appreciate, I learned a lot of really good lessons under him. And although he was hard and he was fair, he was always fair. And I think he helped me a lot. You know, I think I was probably just to be able to be as professional as I could be in and around in a professional cricket environment, my fitness, you know, setting higher standards for myself. And, you know, although I probably didn't play my best cricket under him as coach, I think I definitely gave myself the best opportunity to just play. The amount of hard work I put in and what the expectations were. I think he transformed WA cricket to some extent from where they were and where we were to what we... By the time he walked away, it was in such a better place. But he was, yeah, he had his moments where he was, yeah, he could give you this look that you'd literally just be wanting to hide anywhere. And he'd find somewhere in the chat room to hide. But, yeah, he was really good.
Are you still involved with cricket now in any capacity? Are you playing or are you coaching or doing anything like that?
Yeah, so I'm head coach at Gosnells Cricket Club and playing there as well, just captain coach for the time being, but this will probably be my last year, kind of slowly transitioning out. I'm not bowling as much anymore because my body's packed up a bit, my knees and stuff like that, so I'm more of a bat, trying to be a batter these days, but it's been, I found that really enjoyable. I mean, Gosnells traditionally haven't been the strongest of clubs. That was actually where I started my cricketing journey, I suppose, from a great cricket perspective. So for me, it was a good opportunity to go back and kind of give back to them, along with also, you know, for me, I'm really passionate about helping others and development and help young cricketers. So I was really keen to go back there and hopefully make a difference and try and put something together that's going to help them become a lot stronger club than what they have been in the past, and also help my own coaching prospects as well along the way.
Now, obviously, you've always played with a lot of guys over the journey. Who would be the toughest you reckon you've bowled against, all the best cricketers you've probably played with?
Toughest to bowl to was I remember bowling to Steve Smith during the first Shield final we made that we drew, and we played them the week before in Manuka, and then we played them in the Shield final the following week again in Manuka, but in Canberra. And I've never bowled to a bloke where you just literally didn't feel like, no matter how good a ball you bowled, he wasn't getting out unless he played it, like, unless he batted a lapse in concentration. Or yeah. I was bowling the best ball I possibly could bowl, and he just was all over it. And, yeah, I just remember that time just going, I literally don't know where to bowl this bloke, where it's going to actually potentially get him out. So, and that was probably in his early, like, that just before, when I was around the same time when he really kind of just clicked into gear and then started, moved into playing test cricket and just started dominating. So, he's probably one of the hardest. Ricky Ponting bowled to him in a Shield game, managed to also get him out as well, which is, I don't mind bringing that one out after a couple of beers, but he was like, I remember bowling a 2 or 3 over spell to him where I was, again, and just the shots he played off some, you know, my best balls, I'm just like, this bloke is, it's a no surprise, he's one of the best batters to ever play the game, but yeah, he was just different level. So they're probably two of the harder blokes that I've had to bowl to, I reckon. And then guys that I've played with some, I guess Mitch and Sean Marsh. Sean particular was just like, I'm pretty biased because I love him, but he's one of the best batsmen I've ever seen.
Yeah, right.
Technically, and he just you could sit and watch him bat all day. He's an absolute legend. Adam Voges. He was my captain pretty much the whole way through. Well, Northie was the start.
Yeah.
But Bogsy was just, yeah. And I played a lot with Bogsy at Melville as well, so we were really good mates. But he was an awesome. He's a really good bloke, but he was just a great captain and leader and a batter as well. It was great to see him play test cricket in the end and get his rewards for dominating Shield cricket for the best part of, 5 or 6 years, really. But yeah, there's a couple of guys, and obviously Mitch as well, the good mates with him as well. But yeah, we had quite a few. Yeah, WA's never like New South Wales, where we were star-studded, had really good players that were, and we just had a really good culture that everyone was bought into it, and we loved winning, and we loved having a beer together in the rooms, and that was, that's what, you know, bound us all together.
Yeah, for sure, mate. Now, last one, I just want to know, when you've obviously played a lot of cricket, has there been any, probably your funniest moment or the best sledge you've heard or anything like that while you've been on the field?
Oh, that's a very good question. I've probably been, probably copped a lot of sledges, you know, in my, especially guys who get stuck into me about being overweight. Oh, that's funny. Jeez. This is where, you know, you've played a lot of cricket when you try to sit back, and there's probably an absolute heap of different scenarios. I mean, there's a couple of funny sledges. I remember Mark Cosgrove was batting at the Wacker one day, and I was bowling to him, and I was getting frustrated because he goes quite hard early in the innings, Cosy, and he got on a couple, and I was just like, fuck it, bro. Excuse my French, I've got to get into a contest here. So I had a crack at him, and he went back at me twice as hard, and something about, he goes, I've hit you a few times, you're not, you're shit. And then I said, oh, it's right, every dog has his day. And he goes, you'll never have your day, mate. And I said, well, you've eaten the dog, mate.
Oh, that's gold.
And I just remember Sean Marsh and Sam Whiteman and that running down the wicket, kissing themselves, laughing, like, chuckling to themselves and going, that was a good one. That's probably the first one that springs to mind. There's not too many. I'm not a very good sledger, to be honest, and the boys would back me up there. But in terms of actual incidents on the cricket field and so forth, I mean, I'm sure there's plenty. I just can't. There's none that spring to mind at the moment.
Well, mate, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on. I've enjoyed it. I hope you've enjoyed it as well.
Yeah, no, thanks a lot, mate. I really enjoyed it.
More to come, but just remember, go and subscribe, leave a rating, leave a review. We're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Spotify, we're on Google Podcasts as well. Go and message me on Instagram, say good day, I'll always get back to you. If you want to come in the show, don't hesitate to ask, you never know. And yeah, let's keep rolling. You a little beauty.
Kadir gets the wicket.
Oh, that's high. Someone underneath it, and well taken by Kadir. He's excited about that one.
Oh, beautifully done. What a start for Usman Kadir, the 25-year-old coming in to play his first game. He picks up a wicket, and it's a big wicket as well. Cameron White has got to go.
Right, we got Usman Kadir on the podcast today. Huge guest, played 11 first-class matches. He's played plenty of List A cricket, T20, so the Scorchers and WA as well. Best figures are 5 for 32, so this man knows how to spin a cricket ball. Usman Kadir, welcome, mate.
Thank you very much.
Good to have you on, mate. Now, tell us, first of all, you're over there in Pakistan. How's things over there? You able to train stuff at the moment with the coronavirus going on, or has it been tough?
Yeah, obviously, you know that the coronavirus is a bad thing for us, for all over the world. But, you know, I'm doing all my training, like, you know, I have a park at front of my house, so I will go there and running there. And, you know, I can't go gym because everything is closed. So I will do a little bit of gym at my home. So that's the thing is going on at the moment. And I think in Pakistan, they're going to open all the things on 10th of August. So the normal life is back, inshallah, hopefully.
Awesome. That's exciting, mate. Well, obviously, we know you from your time over here in the Scorchers and playing for WA. How'd that come about? How'd you end up over here playing Shield cricket and a bit of Big Bash?
Absolutely brilliant. I love to play cricket in Australia, and I love the pitches over there. And, you know, the people always encouraging you, and, you know, they give you confidence. Like, if you're not performing well, they always give you confidence. So I love to play in Australia, always, and from my bottom from my heart. I play Scorchers, WA, and Shield cricket, and you know, when I play the first game against Victoria, so I was very nervous because I was not playing professional games like a couple of years. So I played first game in Victoria, and I bowled pretty well over there. So I was very happy.
Yeah, now, obviously, onto your time with the Scorchers, Usman. It's pretty big getting a Big Bash contract. Only 2 international players can per team. How did you find your time with the Scorchers as a whole, and how was it sort of going into that compared to other T20 leagues around the world that you've played in?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, you know, it's very difficult. It's very difficult to get the contract in BBL. Like, you know, if you are an international player, you will get the contract. But if you are not, it's very difficult to play in Big Bash. But, you know, I'm very lucky to play Big Bash before international games. Obviously, in PSL and Big Bash, there's a big difference. I played only two leagues in Big Bash and PSL. So obviously, there's a big difference between PSL and Big Bash. And I prefer that they have a more organized, league in Australia.
You came over here originally hoping you could get maybe a gig with the Aussies. You end up, I believe you're in the Pakistan squad last time they came over the T20 series. Is it still an aspiration to try to get that international cricket debut soon?
Yeah, obviously, you know, my intent was to play for Australia. Obviously, I give all the interviews that I want to play for Australia. But unfortunately, when I came back from Big Bash and I was sitting with my father, and, you know, I love my father. And he was saying that I want to see the star on your chest. If you play for Pakistan, I was really happy. So that's the last thing I talked with him. And, you know, after that, he died. So obviously, when you love someone, obviously, he's my father. I really love him. So I played one domestic T20 here in Pakistan, and I performed really well there. So they put my name in that Australian squad when we came there, when we played against Australia. So obviously, these are very difficult when you're playing over there, and you're all the intent to play for Australia, and then suddenly you are picked from Pakistan, your home country. So that's a big opportunity, actually. So I played only, I toured with Pakistan team, but I didn't play. And when I came back, and I have a name against Bangladesh series, like home series, and, you know, I didn't play there. And right now I don't have any name in the squad. So that's the disappointing thing when you are performing well. Obviously, I have a little bit experience in Australia. I played all the great cricket there, like 3 to 4 years, and played the domestic games as well.
Yeah, now it's a very talented side that Pakistan's got going around right now. Obviously, you were touring with them for two squads, got to do a bit of training with them. What's it like, you know, those training sessions compared to your domestic games? You get to see some of the top players. Babar Azam is being talked about as one of the top five batsmen in the world right now. What's that compared to your normal training sessions?
It's just a normal sessions, you know. Like, I train with the Pakistan international team always. Like, you know, I have a name like in the two series, but I don't have a name right now. So obviously they were saying that you have to train in NC National Cricket Academy. So because of coronavirus, everything is closed. So that's why we are sitting at the home, and, you know, always training with the international players.
So far, obviously you've had your Australia gig over here with the Scorchers and a couple of things over in Pakistan. Who's the hardest player you've had to bowl against so far? Who's been the toughest, you reckon?
I played against AB de Villiers, and I get him as well. Like, you know, I played against him in Pakistan A, in UAE, and I get him, but he's very difficult to bowl, and he's very difficult to bowl Babar. I used to play with him because we start cricket together. He's like my best friend. He's a captain now for Pakistan team, but I don't talk to him because he's a captain. So he's difficult to bowl because, you know, he stayed in the crease, and, you know, he didn't give you the loose shot. So you have to bowl proper to him, and you have to, if you get him out, so you have to bowl on one side.
Now, is there a plan for you to eventually try and return to play a bit of cricket for WA or the Scorchers, or are you hoping to stay in Pakistan for now to try and get that gig with the Pakistan international side?
Actually, I don't have any contract with them, like, you know, the WA or Scorchers. Obviously, yep. I want to play Big Bash. I'm still talking with my manager. He's talking with in some other leagues as well, and they are talking with BBL as well. But obviously, if I don't any chances to play in Pakistan, and I don't have any debut in Pakistan, so obviously I will take chance to go back to Australia and play some cricket there.
Well, We love you over here in Perth, and we hope to have you back over bomb for the Scorchers very soon, eh?
Yeah, hopefully, definitely. I love to play in Australia.
All right, fingers crossed we can see you soon, mate. Cheers for coming on.
No worries, mate. No worries.
Thanks.
Anytime.
Thanks, Usman. Really appreciate it, mate. And that is all from Matt Chats for this week. Remember, leave a rating, leave a review. Hit that subscribe button, do what you got to do. I'll see you next time. Have a good one.